1072, authorize new construction financing in an amount not to exceed $4 million for the Magnolia 2 apartments located at 415 Northeast Fargo Street.
Colleagues, this ordinance is to authorize funding for the new construction of a 50-unit multifamily project in the northeast neighborhood. This is in the interstate urban renewal area. It's called the Magnolia 2 Apartments. The project will connect to the existing Magnolia Apartments, and when finished, it's going to look as though it's all in one project. It's located a block south of the newly constructed 80-unit Beatrice Morrow Apartments. All of these units are subject to the city's preference policy. Six of the units will serve households at or below 30% AMI, in other words, very low income, with three serving permanent supporting housing residents and the other three serving homeless families. And we have Shannon Callahan from the Portland Housing Bureau and Sarah Stevenson from Innovative Housing here to tell us a little bit more about this ordinance. Good morning.
Good morning, Mayor. Good morning, Commissioner. Shannon Callahan of the Portland Housing Bureau. I'm really pleased to be here today and to be joined by Sarah Stevenson of Innovative Housing, Inc. to talk about one of the latest projects to begin in the North and Northeast Neighborhood Strategy Area. This project will join a total of 501 other units that we've put into effect since enacting the strategy with the City Council in 2005. With that, I would like to just say that this was a NOFA, the first NOFA that we offered in 2017, February.
NOFA being?
I'm sorry, Commissioner. Thank you. Notice of Funds Availability. So an award announcement for funding that we had available. And IHI and their marvelous design was the winner of that NOFA award, based predominantly on their work with low-income communities in that neighborhood and their ability to bring us a very cost-effective project. So with that, I'd like to just you can see on your monitor a few pictures of the rendering of the building and how the buildings will work together. Sarah, if you want to talk through a little bit about how, so you'll be joining both of the two buildings together, which you can see now. There is an existing Magnolia 1, and then the second building will join that building. And this is a mix of the affordability of the building. We expect 145 people to be housed in those 50 units. So even though we talk about units, it's also important to focus on people. As the mayor mentioned, 30% of those units, six of the units will be at 30%, and three of those units will be permanent supportive housing. That's something that IHI agreed to after the fact with our new focus on this with the city and county on permanent supportive housing, so we're grateful for that. And the other units will actually be, the 30% units will be focused on families coming out of the homeless family system of care. So with that, I'd like to turn it over to Sarah to give you a few brief words on the project.
Well, I was actually going to talk more about Innovative Housing because you guys have all the details about the project. I'm happy to answer questions. We also have our developer here if you guys have technical questions. I think we have some slides. I just was going to remind you, many of you know Innovative Housing. We've been developing, owning, operating in the Portland region for over 30 years. Our portfolio includes family housing, like Magnolia 2 will be, workforce housing, low-barrier housing for adults, as well as permanent supportive housing for both singles and families. This is a list of some of the properties you may be familiar with that we've built and that we operate in the region. We're particularly proud of our 2015 historic rehabilitation of the Erickson Fritz Apartments, which some of you have visited, and also Magnolia 1, which we completed back in 2013. IHI pairs our housing with services that are designed to help our residents stay stable in housing and use it as a foundation for success in all aspects of their lives. The services aspect of what we bring to the table we think is really important. For families, our services include employment assistance, household budgeting, teen mentoring, summer lunch programs, after-school homework clubs, and assistance applying for college. At other properties, our services focus on helping residents manage chronic health conditions, address food insecurity, and obtain benefits to ensure financial stability. At all sites, we focus on eviction prevention and making sure our residents' basic needs are met, including providing winter coats for all of our resident children, which we're working on right now. We're very excited to partner with the city to complete the second phase of the Magnolia Apartments. As Mayor Wheeler said, it's designed to connect to Magnolia 1, which we built in 2013. At that time, we used a grassroots leasing strategy to very successfully ensure that we housed people who already lived and worked in the neighborhood, rather than further displacing people of color from Northeast Portland. We're really looking forward to working with the city's North-Northeast preference policy, which we've not yet had the opportunity to do, to continue that anti-displacement work and make sure that new housing opportunities at Magnolia 2, these 50 new homes, will be accessible to families with historic ties to the neighborhood. Magnolia 1 is all one- and two-bedroom apartments. As you've heard, Magnolia 2 will be focused on families. It has one-, twos-, and three-bedroom apartments. It includes indoor and outdoor play space, and a new amenity that we're very excited about, which is a maker space, where residents can build, they can craft, they'll be able to explore the construction trades, and they'll be able to begin pre-apprenticeship training right there in the building. We're partnering with Constructing Hope to offer both introductory workshops for residents of our building and the neighborhood to the construction trades, as well as a youth training program right there in the space.
Excuse me one sec. We have a technical glitch. Can we either have the testifier on the screen or the PowerPoint or both?
The PowerPoint has concluded, Commissioner, so we're...
Let's bring it back to the testifier.
Thank you.
Sorry, I was just going. The words weren't on the PowerPoint. There were just some pictures, I think, to help illustrate what we're talking about. But what we're really excited about is that these two buildings are going to connect. We'll end up with 100 affordable homes right here on this block that all have access to these really awesome opportunities for pre-apprenticeship training and to help low-income children and parents access good, high-paying jobs in the construction trades. In addition, we will, of course, bring our full range of family services to help residents succeed and make the most of their housing. We really appreciate the city's support and partnership in our efforts to bring more affordable housing to Portland. I'm happy to answer questions about the project if you have any, or also defer them to our technical experts if they're over my head.
Commissioner Fritz.
It looks like a great project. Thank you for your partnership. I noticed that Ms. Pangala is still here, and I was wondering if after the hearing you could check in with the person who testified about this very need. I mean, this is something the city's doing, is the $4 million. I don't know whether she would qualify for the preference policy, but this seems like a good opportunity to at least look into what might help. And thank you for all that you do for so many families and individuals.
Certainly.
And how much is our $4 million leveraging and other financing?
I believe the total project cost is $16 million. Yes, the total project cost is $16 million. And so we are able to contribute just a quarter of the cost of the project to get this project over the finish line. One of the things that we were very grateful for is this project had a small gap remaining to move it forward beyond what the city had contributed, and the new state LIFT program stepped in and awarded this project earlier this summer the remaining funds it needed. And with that, we are proud of this project, but we also were able to close all of the gaps with all of the projects that we had in the North and Northeast strategy area. So we'll be bringing all of those projects to fruition, as we promised to the community, despite the fact that we've been facing tax credit pricing issues as well as rising costs in construction, which is really what has caused the gaps for our projects. But in combination with the great work of our affordable housing providers and the collaboration with the state and the available funds they've had, we're able to make our commitments to the community and to the preference policy families that we'll be bringing into those units. So we're very pleased at the collaboration and the ability to leverage. Thank you, Commissioner.
Thank you both, and thank you, Housing Bureau Director Shannon Callahan, for being here.
Thank you, Mayor.
In your capacity as the director. We appreciate it. Do we have public testimony on this item?
We have four people signed up.
Very good. Let's hear from them.
First three, please come up. Lightning, Catherine Baker, and Maggie.
That was subtle there.
I never liked to be too loud. Good morning.
Good morning.
Would you like to start?
Should I?
Okay. Yeah, thank you.
I would like to talk about the Portland Housing Bureau and the housing projects that you're putting up. They're not the numbers of 30% and homeless people that you're planning to house in these housing projects are a drop in the bucket. And you're cherry picking. You're taking people who have the most Social Security income and are the least disabled, and you're putting them in this housing. And then you're leaving to the shelter system where there's kennel cough, MRSA, lice, bed bugs, the most disabled. So that would be people with dementia, Alzheimer's, wheelchairs, walkers, canes, bipolar, schizophrenia, and then the economically excluded because they've been ousted out of their units because their rent has gone up and up and up and up, and they cannot afford it because they either work a low-paying job or they work part-time because they can't work a really, you know, good job that will pay market rent. And so why you think you're going to get people out of tents and off the streets with this pathetic number of housing units and the most disabled in these human rights abusive poverty pimps perpetuating apartheid for profit is like it's beyond me. You should be ashamed of yourselves. I'm ashamed for you. I'm ashamed for Portland. I'm ashamed for our society that this is the way we treat the most disabled, the ones who lack the capacity to defend themselves. I don't know how you can sleep at night. It's awful. These shelters, the Portland Rescue Mission, Salvation Army, these shelters where they're located, what's going on there, they should have been shut down years ago. You can't treat people like this. It is human rights violations. These people can't even take care of themselves, and this is the way you treat them.
Ma'am, could you put your name in the record?
My name's Maggie. If you want my full name from birth, you can have that off camera. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning. My name is Lightning. I represent Lightning Super Creativity XX PDX 1. I like the project. I think Innovative Housing Inc. is a good, respectable company. I just have some clarity, I guess, from my position. I always like to know the overall unit price, or per unit price. I understand that would be maybe around $300,000, if I'm correct. Again, I'd like to see the square footage of the units. Again, when we're talking the twos, threes, and the ones, again, that's important to me to understand my analysis. Again, I'd like to also see from the developers and Innovative Housing Inc., the number of jobs created on these projects. It's very important to me when we're talking developing new units. I tried to get that information on a project from the Housing Bureau, and they didn't have the accurate information. I was surprised, because when you start trying to get financing on a project, you better have some numbers in front of you that make sense to the people you're getting the financing from. So possibly this company could put on a website how many jobs are created on this project. Electricians, plumbers, painters, various jobs created. Very important to me. I like to also understand the materials being bought for this project, because I like to see the money spent throughout the community. So we're putting money back into the communities. Now, also on this situation, it says financing, construction financing. I assume that's a loan. I assume that will be paid back upon permanent financing going into place, which that's the way I want it to be. Now, if you're going to tell me this is a grant, I need to be made aware of that as the public to understand that money's going to be not expected to be repaid. It does not state that here. Again, I like the overall project. I like the fact you're doing supportive housing. I don't like to use the term permanent supportive housing. Nothing's permanent in this world. Nothing. None of you up there either, unfortunately, unless you can find a cure for aging. But anyway, looks good to me. Thank you.
Thank you. We appreciate it. And were there two others, Sue?
Yes.
Thank you.
Catherine Baker and Charles Johnson.
Mr. Walsh. Good morning.
Good morning, Mayor and Commissioners. For the record, Charles Bridge Crane Johnson. And, of course, on this small, as Maggie mentioned, drop in the bucket, although at $4 million apiece, we can't afford very many drops in a bucket that really needs a lot of work. But I think there's one interesting thing to note about this project in that, and it dovetails a little bit with what Lightning said about permanent supportive housing. This may be a stellar leading-edge project if we, aside from the people who may be, for the rest of their lives, dealing with SPMI and needing permanent supportive housing. It's also focused on possibly getting people to break through that 60% MFI cap. And I think that that's something that, you know, it's a challenge, and I hope that IHI will be working closely with their tenants to talk about, you know, what happens when they break through that 60% MFI and that there'll be resources in place to help those people adapt to the insanity of market rate housing in Portland. But you know, when we talk about dealing with people in poverty and dealing with homelessness, we have a whole spectrum of symptom severity, and it's great to see IHI. You know, there was this talk about cherry picking, and that is something that needs to be looked at more seriously by Ms. Callahan at PHB and also Home Forward. But there are people who've for a while been stuck under 60% MFI, but they have the capacity to earn competitive market wages. They just need support and training. It's going to be a difficult challenge for you all to figure out with limited funding how much we can fund programs like that and how much we just need to look at large-scale shelter at places like Wapato and elsewhere to protect people from the elements, get them a little bit more stabilized so they can at least even apply for Social Security to be in a situation where because we have very few units for, we talk about 30% MFI, but we never talk about the 0% people who haven't even been able to focus enough to be approved for SSI or SSD. So definitely this $4 million, it's a little bit of a question mark whether it's ever going to come back. Is it really financing? Is it a grant with urban renewal money? But that's not as important as getting this project completed, opening up these 50 homes, which, you know, it's, I wanted, at first I wasn't clear from the presentation if every single unit is under 60% of the median family income. It is. We need these desperately. So I look forward to y'all approving this $4 million, but also talking to us about some things Ms. Callahan mentioned about. She says perhaps 500 units have come online recently. The 10-year plan for homelessness died, and it's very rare for us to see in this shelter, or see in this chambers, actual graphs about how the population for Portland is trending up and where the stagnation or even the drops in low-income housing were and how we're going to recover from that. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Was there one more? I'm sorry.
Apparently not.
Very good. Colleagues, were there any more questions of staff? Seeing none, please call the roll.
Udaly.
Aye.
Fritz.
People lose their housing one person at a time, one family at a time, and people get into housing one person at a time, one family at a time. I really appreciate this project. 50 units is a lot. on the things that we do, and they add up eventually. And remind everybody there are two ballot measures that you, those who are registered to vote, will be able to act on November 6th. One would provide affordable housing for the metro area, and the other would make government dollars go further. So obviously I can't advocate one way or the other, but I just want to put it out there that those are there. And so if you're wondering what you can do, the answer is vote on November 6th, please. Aye.
Fish.
I want to join in what the mayor said earlier in congratulating Shannon on her appointment. Where is Shannon? Oh, she's back there. Congratulating Shannon Callahan on her appointment as the permanent director of the Portland Housing Bureau. She's done a superb job as the interim, and we look forward to working with her now that she has the permanent assignment. I don't remember the last time we had an application before us where all the units were 60% of median family income or below. I mean, so this really is where the highest degree of need is. I'm pleased that there are three units of permanent supportive housing, although obviously we'd like to do more in each project, but it's a good start. I think there's some confusion about who this is going to serve. This is in the North-Northeast Housing Strategy, so there is a right of return that attaches to a number of these units. I think some of the testimony was wildly off the mark because I don't think people understand who is intended to be served by this housing. But again, I think the presentation made clear. This is a good partner. We have a good record with this nonprofit partner. I want to join in what Commissioner Fritz said, that for people that think we're not doing enough to boost the supply of affordable housing, measures 102 and 26199 squarely address that issue. And if that is you know, very important to you, take a good look at the voter's pamphlet is out. There's a lot of pages of explanatory material, and I hope people take the time to look at that carefully because it's part of a comprehensive set of steps we're taking, which will make a dent in the lives of people in our community. Aye.
Saltzman.
Well, I want to thank Sarah Stevenson and Innovative Housing for their continued good work to serve people with good housing, with services. I'm very impressed with the array of services you mentioned are on-site and will be on-site, especially the job training and apprenticeship opportunities. This is a great project. I think it was the first project I toured as housing commissioner in 2013, the opening of it. And I remember then just being impressed with both IHI, but also the quality of the construction seemed very, very good, very durable. And I'm sure that will be carried forward to Magnolia, too. So congratulations and good work, Director Callahan. Aye.
Wheeler.
Well, this is a great project. I appreciate the partnership. Thank you. This is really, in my mind, it gets sort of all three of the critical pieces. Number one, it provides a transition from either the streets or shelter into housing, and that's been a withering need in this community. Number two, it provides affordable housing to people in our community who are currently being priced out of our community. And number three, this provides the kind of wraparound services, including close proximity and pathways to job training and economic prosperity that people would naturally need. So I think this is a very, very well thought out and worthy project, and I'm very happy to be supporting it. I vote aye. The ordinance is adopted. Thank you.